All right, Matthew 17. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garment became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise, do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and he will not recognize him, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you should have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax? And he said, Yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, What do you think, Simon? From whom did the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? And upon his saying, From strangers, Jesus said to him, Consequently, the sons are exempt. But lest we give them offense, go to the sea and throw in a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a stater. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Oh, amen. Amen. So chapter 17 is the transfiguration, and this is where Moses and Elijah, and do you know why it's Moses and Elijah? Can you get these lights? Ken, thanks, man. Do you know why it's Moses and Elijah? In Revelation chapter 11, it talks about the end times, and it talks about the two witnesses that will come. And they're the ones that's going to basically be the ones that are proclaiming the message, and they'll be the two great prophets. If you actually read the descriptions in Revelation 11 about the two prophets, it's referring to Elijah and Moses. And so this is kind of just a fancy word. It just means the end times, but it's kind of eschatological episode. And, I don't know if they're together strategizing or what's going to happen, but this is a sign of basically of what is to come. You know, and so the transfiguration happens. And remember, the kingdom of God always operates this. Kingdom of God is here. You see it. But it's also yet to come, right? And so now you have in this transfiguration, you say that the end times, it's here, right, with the culmination of Christ, but it's also yet to come with the second coming. And so Moses and Elijah show up, which are the perfect characters, you know, to enter into the scene here. And then Peter comes and he says a very foolish thing. You know, you can't quite catch it here in Matthew, but if you look at other passages about the transfiguration, he says, you know, first of all, it's good for us to be here, right? He's just kind of making small talk. He says, should I make a dwelling place? Should I make a sacred tent, you know, for them? But see, they're not of this world, you know, the passage, not that they get offended, but they realize the stupidity in a comment like that. They're not of this world. You know, and if you think in those terms, you know, in the same way, us as well, we're not of this world. You know, when the Bible talks about as for each of us, you know, as believers living in this world, they use a couple particular words. One is alien, you know, just like you have, you know, not, you know, alien like some weird thing that Satan developed out of space, right? You know, to basically, you know, to explain the rapture when it's about to come. You know, but alien in terms of a foreigner that's living in a place that's not their home. In other words, their home is somewhere else. Our home is heaven, right? And you need to, you know, have that mindset. You know, again, we talked about yesterday a little bit, right? Living for eternal and not for the temporal. You know, an alien. And then if you ever look at when they use the word dwelling places, they always use the word tent, right? And it's a very, very particular word, right? Because a tent is a temporary dwelling. You know what happens to a tent if you try to build a foundation, you know, and try to really stake it into the ground? You know what's going to happen? The tent is going to tear, right? If you ever try to do that, the value of a tent or the specialness of it is mobile, right? It's temporary shelter. You know, and every time, you know, they talk about us and our relationship to the world, those are the words that are used. We're aliens and we dwell in a tent. You know, and so she gave us kind of an idea. And Peter just didn't get this. They didn't understand that these were eternal beings, right, that had their home in heaven. You know, and just kind of making small talk. And then at the end of this, you know, after Peter says that, all of a sudden the voice comes out. Obviously, this is Father God. And he says, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Right, there's two passages in the New Testament, in the Gospels. The other one is in let's see, I think it's in John. You know, it's in the wedding in Cana Galilee. And I just propose to you, you have now. This is the Father's advice. You know, and what does he say? He says, "Listen to my son." Right. If you go through your life, right, and if you listen to the Son, you will live a blessed, prosperous, full, adventurous life. Now, the Bible also talks about a mother's advice, and that's in John chapter 2. You know, and in that, you know, the mother comes and Jesus, you know, gets asked to make the wine. And remember what the mother says? The mother turns to the servant and says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Right? So you have the father's advice and says, "Listen to him." And the mother's advice is, "Well, when he talks to you, go and do it." If you just took those two advice in your life, right, and you let that really go deep into your spirit, and you lived off of a father's advice and of a mother's advice, right, man, you would live the most blessed life that you can live on this earth. You know what I mean? Can you imagine, right? The father says, "Listen to him." And the mother says, "Well, when you're listening to him, go and do it," right? Whatever he tells you, do it. You know, and I think, you know, I mean, I always, you know, parents have wisdom, but parents have supernatural, I mean, above and beyond wisdom. And so this is what he tells them. And notice, you know, in the beginning of Matthew chapter 3, the beginning of all, you know, Jesus turns and the father turns and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And now, remember, that was before Jesus actually did anything. And now he comes to getting close to the culmination of his life. And Jesus Christ says the same thing, right? "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You know, we need to constantly hear that in our life. You know, you can't just have one episode where you hear that and you're like, "Okay, I'm okay now," right? This is something that you're going to have to be encouraged all through your life with. You know, and the Spirit will stir that in our hearts. The Spirit will continue to remind us how pleased the Father is with each one of us. You know, how proud he is of each one of us. You know, there's something there. I can't explain what it is, but there's something about an authority figure, about our father or people that we respect, that actually just simply say those simple words that "I'm proud of you." I remember one time I was in a university and we had a chapel, and every once in a while we had these faculty chapels. You know, and basically all we did is, you know, one of the faculty guys came up and gave like a 15-minute message. And then all the professors all lined up in the front of the church, you know, and any student can just come up and just get prayer. And it was kind of a stressful time for the professors, because you found out who the popular ones were and who were not popular. Right, and so the popular ones had like 10 people in line waiting for them, and the other ones were just kind of standing there with no one in front. And so that was a school joke, but any case. And so it would come up, and I remember just going up, and you know, I actually wasn't a Christian at this time, you know, and I just went up, and I felt like, well, I like that guy, you know, and he's standing by himself, so I feel sorry for him. So I'm just going to go up and walk over to him, You know, and I walked over, and he actually was my favorite professor. His name was Dr. William C. Williams. And, you know, his parents didn't have much imagination, you know. And Dr. Williams, actually, if you look at your NIV, he was one of the contributors to your Bible. He's renowned Hebrew scholar. And he came up, and I remember, you know, I just went up, and, you know, I'm this cool basketball player, right? I just go up to the front. I'm just, like, chilling. And all of a sudden, he starts praying for me, and then he hugs me, and then he just tells me, like, you know, he's got the very fatherly voice, Sam, you know, the Lord is just really proud of you. He's pleased with you. You know, I don't know why. I just started crying. You know, I was just like sitting up there and I just like, because he actually hit something deep inside. I was not even aware of that I needed, you know, and he expressed the Father's approval, right? Every single one of us, there is something deep inside, right? You know, the scriptures tell us that in Ecclesiastes that he has set eternity in our hearts. There's something in us, you know, that cries out for the Father to speak truth in. If you ever study early child development or, you know, adolescent development or these kind of things, you know that there's a special role that the Father has. The Father, very, you know, and the mother is obviously very important, but the Father has the unique privilege of calling out manhood from the son and also calling out womanhood from the daughter. You know, you think that it was one or the other, but according to, you know, the psychologists and, you know, and people, the father has that privilege. He's the one that calls the girl into becoming a woman, and he's also the one that calls the boy into becoming a man. You know, there's something about that, and thus God revealed himself to us as Father God. You know that he's non-gender, right? He's outside of the realm of sex, male and female, but he expressed to us the revelation is as a father. And then there's something about that calling out, and you know, I just read this first time today, and I realized, wow, you know, Jesus was encouraged in the beginning, and now in the kind of towards the end, he's also encouraged again, you know. And if you think if Jesus needs to hear these words, you know, and I remember it says about Jesus, he's talking to the devil, and he says he has nothing in me, right? Jesus never needed inner healing, right? He never needed, you know, counseling, right? He was the most perfectly adjusted human being on the face of the earth. But yet he still needed those words of encouragement, right? How much more, right, do we need the voice of the Father echoing in our heart of hearts, right? And so, you know, they continue to come, and then Jesus explains to them what's going on, and, you know, he tells them, right, in verse 9, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. You know, and then his disciples asked, very quirky, they said, well, isn't Elijah supposed to come first? You know, in other words, they were saying, I don't think you're the Son of Man. You know, I don't think you are who you think you are, man, because the Bible says Elijah's supposed to come first. And then you can imagine Jesus pulling his hair out. Elijah, yes, yes, Elijah's come. I'm telling you, Elijah already came. John the Baptist, man, all right? And then these guys, remember at the end of 13, oh, yeah, oh, John the Baptist. You know, I'm telling you, man, you start reading about the disciples, it encourages your discipleship, right? Because if Jesus can use these guys, oh my goodness, he can use you. You know, and so he continues on. And then there's the demoniac, and there's a really incredible passage in 21. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Right? There's something, you know, all this, and that's what he basically says, you know. He says, number one, right, you don't have enough faith for this. You know, and then number two, right, that faith becomes actualized, or faith gets built up in us when there's prayer and fasting. You know, that's why I'm telling you, man, I'm excited. You know, we're if you're hitting 21, it's almost over. Can you believe it went by so fast? You might as well go 36, man, right? And stuff. So, just kidding. Now let the Lord speak to you, you know. And then, you know, and then you come, right, you come to this place. You know, you finish, and I trust me, there's the ebbs and flows. You may not feel the benefit or for what's happening, you know, so soon, but you wait, man. You wait till about, you know, June, July, September, and you're going to see there's something different about your life, right? You know, usually, you know, what we call like prayer muscles, right? You actually receive benefit from your prayers about 4 or 5 months down the road. In that same way, if you don't pray, right? You know, prayerlessness, you feel the benefits or the lack of about 4 or 5 months down the road. That's why in the beginning you don't pray and stuff. You feel like, oh, everything's going okay. And then all of a sudden you hit this wall a few months later on and you realize, oh, man, you know, the resources of prayer are missing now. And that's when, you know, you get a kickstart once again. But, you know, it's going to be really exciting to see how the Lord blesses your lives you know, and the breakthroughs that, that happen, and you know, and how close you are to the Lord. You know, I know some of you guys feel a sense of that, but man, it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, especially as you know, these habits begin to get formed in you now. And I mean it's going to be a real, just incredible time. And so it continues on, and then you get the tribute money. Now, you have to understand in the context, the true drachma, the two drachma tax is a temple tax, right? Now, should there be a temple tax? No. You know, that's why it's something about giving, right? It comes from our heart. You know, if I as a pastor said, "Hey man, you know, where's your money?" Right? You know, it takes away from the whole essence of church. You know, and there are people who do that. I know friends of mine that went to church. Actually, it was kind of a cult. You know, and it is kind of a cult. But the pastor would ask them for the bank account statements. Right. There are two members of my church before, and they're both dentists, but they just got out of dental school, right? And they have this huge debt, and I think the pastor just didn't think that they were giving enough money, and so he demanded to see their bank statements. And as soon as that happened, they left, right? And stuff, you know, rightly so. If you ever get me asking for your bank statement, just go to another church, man, right? Because I lost it, you know, I'm going to hell, you know. So, in those terms, I'll be punished, right? And so, make sure that happens. And so, this is a temple tax that was drawn up by the Romans, you know, and it's just not right. You know, the beauty of church and the beauty of the temple is that people freely you have received, freely give. Right, you know, and it's every person's decision, you know. I mean, there's obviously we can give guidelines and things, you know. That's what we talk about tithing and giving and offering and these type of things. But it's free will, right? It flows out of our hearts. Can you imagine if it became a rule or a law? The joy of giving wouldn't be there. I mean, how many of you guys have joy when you pay your taxes? Anyone? Right? Of course not. Right? It would be the very same typical thing. And so that's why that's Jesus' response. And the two drachma tax is basically two denarii, or 2 days of wages, right? And so they're asking for this. And so he turns to Simon and says, you know, who did the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax from? Their sons or from strangers? You know, and he's just making a very simple statement. He says, the strangers. So he says, yeah, the sons are exempt. You know, we give freely, right? There's no tax. You know, we're not, you know, the believers, we're not taxed, right? We give free will offerings. I mean, we recognize that it belongs to God, you know, and he's entitled to, you know, a certain percentages of our income in these things. But at the same time, if you wanted to keep it, you can keep it. You just won't be blessed, you know, and I mean, it's just a simple a fact. And then he goes out and, you know, he says, I want you to take this thing. This is a creative miracle, right? Go fishing. Catch a fish, and in that fish, there's going to be a stater. A stater is basically four drachmas. Basically, the perfect amount to pay for Jesus and for Simon, right? And so, I mean, so what is Jesus trying to say here, right? Right? He's always going to give you what you need, right? That's something, you know, and he's opposed to paying this tax. This tax is ridiculous. But he says, well, you know, he draws a bigger illustration to the people here, right? God will always give you what you need to succeed, right? The Lord is, you know, he's the Lord of abundance, but he'll always give you what you need. You know, you'll never have to worry about that. And a lot of us, we worry. We worry about our finances. You know, we worry, oh, man, how am I ever going to get married, you know? How am I going to afford a wedding? You know, how am I going to afford a ring? You know, how am I going to afford this? Or, you know, how am I going to take care of my kids? You know, and you go through one. You know, when you're younger, you know, oh, how am I going to pay for school? You know, and it just continues on and builds and builds. How am I going to pay off my loans? You know, how am I going to do this? You know, and on and on. And you'll keep doing this, you know. I mean, I should think about those things now. I'm thinking about how am I going to afford to have 3 kids, you know, as we want to have 3, you know, and maybe even 4. Oh, how am I going to do that? You know, I can't even, you know, I mean, I got to buy a bigger car. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And you always come back and say, well, Lord, if you can make money come out of a fish, truly, truly, you can bless my life. Truly, you can give me what I need. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. Right, the Lord is the provider. Right, there's so many aspects to this chapter. I hope you've been enjoying the teaching times in the morning. I know I have. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Maybe you're one today and you need to hear that voice from the Lord. It says, man, I'm so proud of you. You need to let that really register in your spirit. Lord says, man, I'm just so proud of you. Maybe you are worrying quite a bit. You just need the Lord to alleviate some of that worry, especially in the area of finances. Right? Let God really minister to you today. Let Him really go deep. You know, and all you need to do is just go before the Lord and say, God, I just need some help in this area. Will you just really minister to me today? Would you go deep and would you heal the parts of my heart and my mind that just seem not to trust you in these areas? God, would you help me? That's all you have to say. You don't have to stir up faith. Let God stir that up in you. Well, why don't we go before Jesus today and let's just spend some time and ask Him to take us a little bit deeper. Let's pray together. That same way, let's pray for ourselves and let's just really pray over the area of just personal holiness. That we would just remove any obstacles that come before us and God and that God would really help us to watch over our lifestyles. And you know, not that He's some police officer, you know, checking us out, nothing like that, but that we just really want to draw closer to Him. And so we don't want anything to get in the way of that. And so let's just really pray for our personal holiness in our lives. Let's pray for leaders at church, SP. Let's pray that God would just raise more of them up and that each of them would take more ownership of their roles and responsibilities at church. And let's also pray that the Lord really mature them this year as well, that they would grow in their faith and grow in their trust in the Lord, and God would just really bless them in their work and the things that they do. So just cover our leaders at church. Let's pray for the launch of our 11 a.m. service. So let's pray for new families to come and new people and servants and people really own this this ministry, and people would really be able to really serve in the morning. And pray for the worship team and all the work that goes on, you know, our welcoming pack, our newspaper ad. There's so much work behind the scenes that we're trying to get done before this time. So let's just really cover our whole service and ask for the Lord's blessing in that, in preparation. Let's pray for Alicia. Let's pray that the Lord would completely heal her left back and her shoulder. You know, doctors and scans couldn't identify any apparent injury, but there's muscle imbalance and spasm. It's been causing back and chest pains and a lot of stress. Let's just pray that the Lord would just really heal her completely through this. Also pray that the Holy Spirit would give her words, discernment, and courage to serve people around her, especially as she prays, that the Lord, as she feels compelled by God's love to pray for others. Just pray that the Lord would just give her the words and just a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that she would not feel lost for words. I pray for closeness to the Lord as she starts her career in architecture, all the choices and opportunities. Pray that she would just go where the Lord wants her to go, to really prosper her, and that she would glorify him through that work. I also pray for her grandmother's salvation, that she will know God's heart, and that Jesus is not just about work, but about receiving grace. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that she will be free from years and years of idolatry and ancestor worship, and that the Lord will just really bind the spirit that destroys the peace between her children. And so let's just cover Alicia and her family. Let's pray for Pastor Nate. Pray that the Lord would just really break the laziness and passivity in his life, and that he'd be more proactive and enthusiastic in tackling new things in his life. Pray for anointing and power for preaching and wisdom in leading a youth group. So let's cover Pastor Nate. Let's pray for our brother Will. Let's pray for the salvation of his sister Jenny. Also pray for his girlfriend Yuna's father, that the Lord would heal or would touch him and bring the word of God to his life. Let's also pray for survival and recovery of dad's business as it's possibly coming near bankruptcy. Also pray for a spiritual recovery for friend Daniel and for him to have a personal encounter with the Lord. And also that he'd be able to really give up something beautiful for Jesus in 2007. So let's just pray for Noel. Now, since this is Saturday and we have a little bit more time, if there's any of you here and you would just like to be prayed for, you know, you don't have to have a reason why, and you know, you just wouldn't mind receiving some ministry today, you know, why don't you just lift your hands in the air and, you know, I'll pray and we'll dismiss. And if you're grabbing a drink or something, please encourage you guys to be a little quiet so people can pray throughout the time. But if you would like to receive some ministry and, you know, you just wouldn't mind someone praying for you, just during this time, and just lift your hand in the air, and you know, people will come around and pray over you. Okay, and just keep it high until someone comes, and others, you know, as you see the hands up around people, and I'll walk around myself as well and pray. And I just want to encourage you to go around and just cover your friends here, and you know, it's Andrea, Bonnie, Jane, Bernice, Marcia in the back, Nate in the front. Right, and so why don't we just go around? Let's just cover our friends, and please just enjoy the rest of your day today. And all right, and so let's just minister to one another for a while. Right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time, God, and Lord, just continue to lead us the rest of this day, Lord, and help us to really glorify your son, Jesus, and really live for him, God. And we want to, Lord, take a hold of that advice, God. We want to listen to him, Lord, and we want to do, God, whatever he asks us to do. And so help us, God, in that. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.